Chapter 4. I couldn't so much as make a guess, sir. A Bank of England £5 note, Cops. Whew, says Cops, that's a spanking sum of money, Master Harry. A person could do a good deal with such a sum of money as that, couldn't a person, Cops? I believe you, sir. Cops, said the boy, I'll tell you a secret. At Nora's house, they have been joking her about me, and pretending to laugh at our being engaged, pretending to make game of it, Cops. Such, sir, says Cops, is the depravity of human matter. The boy, looking exactly like his father, stood for a few minutes with his glowing face towards the sunset, and then departed with, good night, Cops. I'm going in. If I was to ask Boots how it happened that he was a-going to leave that place just at that present time, well, he couldn't rightly answer me. He did suppose he might have stayed there till now, if he had been anyways inclined. But, you see, he was younger then, and he wanted change. That's what he wanted, change. Mr. Walmers, he said to him, when he gave him notice of his intentions to leave, Cops, he says, have you anything to complain of? I make the inquiry, because if I find that any of my people really has anything to complain of, I wish to make it right if I can. No, sir, says Cops. Thanking you, sir, I find myself as well situated here as I could hope to be anywheres. The truth is, sir, that I'm a going to seek my fortune. Oh, indeed, Cops, he says. I hope you may find it. And Boots could assure me which he did, touching his hair with his bootjack, as a salute in the way of his present calling, that he hadn't found it yet. Well, sir, Boots left the Elmses when his time was up, and Master Harry, he went down to the old lady's at York, which old lady would have given that child the teeth out of her head if she had had any, she was so wrapped up in him. What does that infant do, for infant you may call him, and be within the mark, but cut away from that old lady's with his Nora, on a expedition to go to Gretna Green and be married? Sir, Boots was at this identical Holly Tree Inn, having left it several times, since to better himself, but always come back through one thing or another, when, one summer afternoon, the coach drives up, and out of the coach, gets them two children. The guard says to our governor, I don't quite make out these little passengers, but the young gentleman's words was, that they was to be brought here. The young gentleman gets out, hands his lady out, gives the guard something for himself, says to our governor, we're to stop here tonight please. Sitting room and two bedrooms will be required. Chops and cherry pudding for two. And tucks her, in her sky blue mantle, under his arm, and walks into the house much bolder than brass. Boots leaves me to judge what the amazement of that establishment was, when these two tiny creatures all alone by themselves was marched into the Angel, much more so, when he, who had seen them without their seeing him, give the governor his views of the expedition they was upon. Cops, says the governor, if this is so, I must set off myself to York, and quiet their friends' minds. In which case you must keep your eye upon them, and humor them, till I come back. But before I take these measures, Cops, I should wish you to find from themselves, whether your opinion is correct. Sir, to you, says Cops, that shall be done directly. So Boots goes upstairs to the Angel, and there he finds Master Harry on a enormous sofa, immense at any time, but looking like the great bed of ware, compared with him, a-drying the eyes of Miss Nora with his pocket handkerchief. Their little legs was entirely off the ground, of course, and it really is not possible for Boots to express to me how small them children looked. It's Cops. It's Cops. Cries Master Harry, and comes running to him, and catching hold of his hand. Miss Nora comes running to him on t'other side and catching hold of his t'other hand, and they both jump for joy. I see you a-getting out, sir, says Cops. I thought it was you. I thought I couldn't be mistaken in your height and figure. What's the object of your journey, sir? Matrimonial? We are going to be married, Cops, at Gretna Green, return the boy. We have run away on purpose. Nora has been in rather low spirits, cops, but she'll be happy, now we have found you to be our friend. Thank you, sir, and thank you, miss, says cops, for your good opinion. Did you bring any luggage with you, sir? If I will believe Boots, when he gives me his word and honor upon it, the lady had got a parasol, a smelling bottle, a round and a half of cold buttered toast, 8 peppermint drops, and a hairbrush, seemingly a doll's. The gentleman had got about half a dozen yards of string, a knife, 3 or 4 sheets of writing paper folded up surprising small, a orange, and a chainy mug with his name upon it. What may be the exact matter of your plans, sir? Says cops. To go on, replied the boy, which the courage of that boy was something wonderful. In the morning, and be married tomorrow. Just so, sir, says cops. Would it meet your views, sir, if I was to accompany you? When cops said this, they both jumped for joy again, and cried out, oh, yes, yes, cops. Yes. Well, sir, says cops, if you will excuse my having the freedom to give an opinion, what I should recommend would be this. I'm acquainted with a pony, sir, which, put in a phaeton, that I could borrow, would take you and Mrs. Harry Walmers Jr., myself driving, if you approved, to the end of your journey in a very short space of time. I am not altogether sure, sir, that this pony will be at liberty tomorrow, but even if you had to wait over tomorrow for him, it might be worth your while. As to the small account here, sir, in case you was to find yourself running at all short, that don't signify, because I'm a part proprietor of this inn, and it could stand over. Boots assures me that, when they clapped their hands, and jumped for joy again, and called him good cops, and dear cops, and bent across him to kiss one another in the delight of their confiding hearts, he felt himself the meanest rascal for deceiving them that ever was born. Is there anything you want just at present, sir? Says cops, mortally ashamed of himself. We should like some cakes after dinner, answered Master Harry, folding his arms, putting out one leg, and looking straight at him, and 2 apples, and jam. With dinner we should like to have toast and water. But Nora has always been accustomed to half a glass of currant wine at dessert. And so have I. It shall be ordered at the bar, sir, says cops, and away he went. Boots has the feeling as fresh upon him at this minute of speaking as he had then, that he would far rather have had it out in half a dozen rounds with the governor than have combined with him, and that he wished with all his heart there was any impossible place, where those 2 babies could make an impossible marriage, and live impossibly happy ever afterwards. However, as it couldn't be, he went into the governor's plans, and the governor set off for York in half an hour. The way in which the women of that house without exception every one of them married and single took to that boy, when they heard the story, Boots considers surprising. It was as much as he could do to keep them from dashing into the room and kissing him. They climbed up all sorts of places, at the risk of their lives, to look at him through a pane of glass. They was 7 deep at the keyhole. They was out of their minds about him, and his bold spirit. In the evening, Boots went into the room, to see how the runaway couple was getting on. The gentleman was on the window seat, supporting the lady in his arms. She had tears upon her face, and was lying, very tired and half asleep, with her head upon his shoulder. Mrs. Harry Walmers Jr., fatigued, sir? Says cops. Yes, she is tired, cops. But she is not used to be away from home, and she has been in low spirits again. Cops, do you think you could bring a biffin, please? I ask your pardon, sir, says cops. What was it you, I think a Norfolk biffin would rouse her, cops. She is very fond of them. Boots withdrew in search of the required restorative, and when he brought it in, the gentleman handed it to the lady, and fed her with a spoon, and took a little himself. The lady being heavy with sleep, and rather cross. What should you think, sir, says cops, of a chamber candlestick? The gentleman approved. the chambermaid went first, up the great staircase. The lady, in her sky-blue mantle, followed, gallantly escorted by the gentleman. The gentleman embraced her at her door, and retired to his own apartment, where Boots softly locked him up. Boots couldn't but feel with increased acuteness what a base deceiver he was, when they consulted him at breakfast. They had ordered sweet milk and water, and toast and currant jelly, overnight, about the pony. It really was as much as he could do, he don't mind confessing to me, to look them two young things in the face, and think what a wicked old father of lies he had grown up to be. Howsomever, he went on a lying like a Trojan about the pony. He told him that it did so unfortunately happen that the pony was half clipped, you see, and that he couldn't be taken out in that state, for fear it should strike to his inside. But that he'd be finished clipping in the course of the day, and that tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock the phaeton would be ready. Boots' view of the whole case, looking back on it in my room, is that Mrs. Harry Walmers Jr. was beginning to give in. She hadn't had her hair curled when she went to bed, and she didn't seem quite up to brushing it herself, and its getting in her eyes put her out. But nothing put out Master Harry. He sat behind his breakfast cup, a-tearing away at the jelly, as if he had been his own father. After breakfast, Boots is inclined to consider that they drawed soldiers. At least, he knows that many such was found in the fireplace, all on horseback. In the course of the morning, Master Harry rang the bell. It was surprising how that there boy did carry on, and said, in a sprightly way, "Cops, is there any good walks in this neighborhood?" "Yes, sir," says Cops. "There's Love Lane." "Get out with you, Cops." That was that there boy's expression. "You're joking." "Begging your pardon, sir," says Cops, "there really is Love Lane. And a pleasant walk it is, and proud shall I be to show it to yourself and Mrs. Harry Walmers Jr." "Nora, dear," said Master Harry, "this is curious. We really ought to see Love Lane. Put on your bonnet, my sweetest darling, and we will go there with Cops." Boots leaves me to judge what a beast he felt himself to be when that young pair told him, as they all three jogged along together, that they had made up their minds to give him 2,000 guineas a year as head gardener, on accounts of his being so true a friend to him. Boots could have wished at the moment that the earth would have opened and swallowed him up. He felt so mean, with their beaming eyes a-looking at him, and believing him. "Well, sir," he turned the conversation as well as he could, and he took him down Love Lane to the water meadows, and there Master Harry would have drowned himself in half a moment more, a-getting out a water lily for her, but nothing daunted that boy. "Well, sir," they was tired out. All being so new and strange to him, they was tired as tired could be. And they laid down on a bank of daisies, like the children in the wood, leastways meadows, and fell asleep. Boots don't know, perhaps I do, but never mind, it don't signify either way, why it made a man fit to make a fool of himself to see them two pretty babies a-lying there in the clear still sunny day, not dreaming half so hard, when they was asleep as they done when they was awake. But, Lord, when you come to think of yourself, you know, and what a game you have been up to ever since you was in your own cradle, and what a poor sort of a chap you are, and how it's always either yesterday with you, or else tomorrow, and never today, that's where it is. Well, sir, they woke up at last, and then one thing was getting pretty clear to Boots, namely, that Mrs. Harry Walmers's, Jr.'s, temper was on the move. When Master Harry took her round the waist, she said he teased her so. And when he says, "Nora, my young May Moon, your Harry tease you," she tells him, "Yes, and I want to go home." A biled fowl, and baked bread and butter pudding, brought Mrs. Walmers up a little, but Boots could have wished, he must privately own to me, to have seen her more sensible of the voice of love, and less abandoning of herself to currents. However, Master Harry, he kept up, and his noble heart was as fond as ever. Mrs. Walmers turned very sleepy about dusk, and began to cry. Therefore, Mrs. Walmers went off to bed as per yesterday, And Master Harry Ditto repeated. About 11 or 12 at night comes back the governor in a chaise, along with Mr. Walmers and a elderly lady. Mr. Walmers looks amused and very serious, both at once, and says to our missus, "We are much indebted to you, ma'am, for your kind care of our little children, which we can never sufficiently acknowledge. Pray, ma'am, where is my boy?" Our missus says, "Cops has the dear child in charge, sir." "Cops, show 40. Then he says to Cops, "Ah, Cops, I am glad to see you. I understood you was here." And Cops says, "Yes, sir. You're most obedient, sir. I may be surprised to hear Boots say it, perhaps, but Boots assures me that his heart beat like a hammer going upstairs. I beg your pardon, sir," says he, while unlocking the door. "I hope you are not angry with Master Harry. For Master Harry is a fine boy, sir, and will do you credit and honor." And Boots signifies to me that, if the fine boy's father had contradicted him in the daring state of mind in which he then was, he thinks he should have fetched him a crack and taken the consequences. But Mr. Walmers only says, "No, Cops. No, my good fellow. Thank you." And, the door being opened, goes in. Boots goes into, holding the light, and he sees Mr. Walmers go up to the bedside, bend gently down, and kiss the little sleeping face. Then he stands looking at it for a minute, looking wonderfully like it. They do say he ran away with Mrs. Walmers, and then he gently shakes the little shoulder. "Harry, my dear boy. Harry." Master Harry starts up and looks at him. Looks at Cops too. Such is the honor of that mite, that he looks at Cops, to see whether he has brought him into trouble. "I am not angry, my child. I only want you to dress yourself and..." Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.